Tom Callahan, Jay Levin here with you. Part two to today's Talking Puck podcast. We had to break it into two parts. Part one, in case you missed it, was Preds Sharks Game 6 coming up tonight in Nashville. So Jay and I had a chance to talk about that. You can check out our blog at talkingpuck.wordpress.com. I'm at Callahan on air on Twitter. He is at Bowtie Sports. And Jay, we'll talk about the Blues and the Sharks series in just a moment here, but I want to talk about the East. First of all, we have one question out of four answered. Tampa Bay moving on as they get through the New York Islanders, and they will now await the winner of Pittsburgh-Washington in the Eastern Conference Final.
Yeah, that was a good series there by Tampa. The Islanders, I was impressed with the way that team came together through the year. The Islanders looked real impressive there in Game 1, taking that one in Tampa, but Lightning rallied. I really thought turning point of the series was there in Game 2. I thought the Islanders had a lot of momentum going in, and Tampa by winning that game resoundingly, I thought kind of changed the tenor of that whole series. It's hard to knock the Islanders too much when you look. I mean, Game 3, Game 4 both went to overtime. But I think I expected a little bit more fight from the Islanders there in Game 5. It looked this weekend like they were kind of resigned to the fact that they weren't going to be able to get it done. And they didn't put up a ton of fight there in Game 5 in Tampa.
You know, when you get a team that fights so hard to get there like the Islanders, do you lend any credence to the theory that maybe they just kind of ran on emotion for so long and ran out of gas?
It's quite possible, and remember also their plan all year was for Yaro Halak to be the goalie there to lead them and backbone them through the playoffs. No offense to Thomas Greiss, but you know he's been a career 1B type of goaltender. I thought Greiss did an outstanding job getting him through round one. I thought he was real strong at times here in the series against Tampa, but at some point, you run into a team that has the type of depth and the type of skill that Tampa does. You know, it's tough to keep playing above your head for that long.
Washington had its back against the wall, comes out with a huge win to extend the series here against Pittsburgh. The question that I'm starting out with: Matt Murray has played so well for Pittsburgh, and no reason to switch away from Murray. I am not faulting him at all for the loss the other night. Don't read into it that way. But the question I'm asking now is, with Murray being a young guy, and he seems fairly unflappable, but the Capitals now have gotten some goals on him. They've been able to push a few across the line. Does it begin to creep into his head? And if it does, what happens, if you want to fast forward a minute here, if Washington wins tonight, now you're going into Game 7. I still don't think you can make that switch. There's no way for me Marc-Andre Fleury sees the ice in this series.
Well, I mean, very similar to the comments about Greiss, you could say the same thing about Murray. It's real tough when you don't have that sort of pedigree to play that well for that long, especially a team like Washington that is so incredibly skilled. Murray was really good start of the series. The last two games, he's given up some shakier goals. He's looked a little bit more uncomfortable in the crease. Give Washington credit for helping to create that. But, I do think some doubt starts to creep in, especially if Washington's able to get, say, two goals in the first period, first, 10, 12 minutes of the first period. I do think that's starts to maybe impact, maybe not as much Murray, but the skaters in front of him, as to do we need to kind of lay back and help protect the kid a little bit more.
Well, Murray, first of all, is 21, whereas Greiss is 31, so there's that difference there. I mean, somebody's got to emerge at some point. Maybe Murray is emerging now, but again, because he is so much younger, and even though he appears to have it together, you wonder if he doesn't have that veteran experience behind him, a guy who's been there and done that. does that creep in a little bit? So for me, again, there's no way Marc-Andre Fleury, unless you're getting blown out 5-0 in the first period tonight, I don't put Fleury back out there at any point in the series or for the rest of the run. Murray's your guy. Run with him. That said, though, now Pittsburgh has to ask some questions of its own. Washington finally got the power play going, so that's a huge point for them. The Capitals seemed more like the Capitals. They seem more like that team that was the President's Trophy winning team during the regular season. And for that reason, if you're Washington, now you have the confidence of that win. You have the chance now to come out. If you win Game 6, you've got all the momentum going back into Game 7. You're going back home. I think it's imperative tonight. The most important thing for Pittsburgh is the start. If they don't come out and try to knock out the enthusiasm of the Capitals right away, I think it's going to be a long night for them, and they're not going to be able to win. They need a huge start.
I agree. Pittsburgh really, really needs to get off to a strong start. The arena there is going to be rocking. You know, you don't want to leave it up to Game 7. But again, this is a Pittsburgh team that has had some deep playoff runs. These are guys who know what it takes to win a cup. They know what it takes to play on the big stage. So I think they can handle adversity real well. But, boy, you know, Washington, we keep saying it, they've got a ton of skill. They've got a ton of depth. They're also, you know, very experienced. I don't want to give Washington life. I don't want Washington to start feeling like this series is theirs. So for those reasons, yeah, Pittsburgh needs to get off to a good start. Let the arena just go crazy. Frustrate Washington. See what happens when Washington gets uncomfortable. See if Ovechkin sticks to the script if they go down a goal and if it's third period and they're trailing. See what happens with some of the leadership there in Washington. See how well they keep it together. Pittsburgh, though, is definitely going to be the focal point, and seeing how Pittsburgh plays in this game.
And, of course, that game will be tomorrow night as we are going through this here on a Monday afternoon. There's one other big pivotal Game 6 coming up tonight, St. Louis and Dallas. It was announced earlier today that Kari Lehtinen will be back out there. Speaking of oft-injured goaltenders, Lehtinen is the guy over Antti Niemi. And Jay, again, it's been a 1B and a 1B all year for Dallas. They've been able to win because they've been able to outscore teams. They've been able to, you know, play that track meet style of game and get by with not having the greatest of defenses. But I really feel like in that last game, Game 5, St. Louis just absolutely took control of this series. And if the Blues are firing on all cylinders and this is the way they're playing, I don't care who gets out of San Jose, Nashville, the Blues are going to be a really tough out.
St. Louis plays really strong structured defense. You expect that from a Ken Hitchcock team. They're physical, they're big, they've got guys with skill, and right now they're getting the goaltending. Brian Elliott is bringing it game in, game out. I wouldn't be surprised if Dallas puts together a big push, if Dallas finds a way to sneak out Game 6. I don't see Dallas being able to get consistent enough goaltending to win two consecutive games in the series against a team of St. Louis's caliber, though.
Now, St. Louis, and that's the other thing you mentioned, I mean, they just play such a heavy style right now. They lean on you. I don't know that Dallas is really built to handle that in a seven-game series, and it's one of the reasons why I actually worried about St. Louis coming in against Dallas, because it was the same kind of heavy series against Chicago. Made me wonder if they had enough in the tank, but it appears that they are getting stronger as the series goes along. I worried about them trying to keep up with Dallas, but they have shown to me that not only can they do it, but they can dominate the game. So, and I agree with you, Brian Elliott has played well. This is the first time, and I can't remember how long, Ken Hitchcock has stayed with one guy in a playoff series, and two playoff series, in fact. And, you know, that is a big key to them, stability. Same thing night in, night out. It's just this team, you know what you're going to get from them. They know how they're going to play. They go out there, and if they execute, they're awful hard to beat.
And Dallas, I mean, hats off to them. I mean, this was a team that made a lot of moves a couple summers ago, was expected last season to really compete towards the top of the division, underachieved, came back this year, and really, I mean, this is a fun, exciting team to watch. I don't want to fully write the postmortem on them yet, but they still, they've got some areas that they still need to learn. This is a team that you should really keep an eye on in the Central Division moving forward. You know, even if they wind up getting bounced here against St. Louis, they've got a really bright future, in my opinion.
Yeah, boy, it's a team that can certainly drop six on you in a hurry, but they're going to need to score an awful lot to get past the Blues here tonight. All right, table is set. Tom Callahan, Jay Levin, Talking Puck Podcast. You could check us out on WordPress, talkingpuck.wordpress.com. I'm at Callahan on air on Twitter. He is at Bowtie Sports, and we will talk to you tomorrow. Thanks for listening.